Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 911 CEO Fitness Challenge Teleseminar Support Series. I'm Tom Twilliger, and I'm here, of course, with my energetic partner. The guy is amazing. I can't say enough about him. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Jim Tsai is with us.
Hello, folks. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm doing great. I'm excited about our guest tonight. Tom, it's always a privilege to get somebody that's really out there doing things, shaking and moving things, and you know, to have someone like our guest tonight is a real privilege and joy for me. It's difficult to get him away. He's on Western time, so I know he's right at the end of his day, but this guy never sits still, so who knows when the day really.
No doubt about it. I think our listeners are really going to be excited about some of the information that our guest, John, is going to be disseminating. And it's going to get a little beyond, you know, just because it's so important to get beyond just the fitness component and just that alone, you know, getting into things more in terms of development of your emotional intelligence, goal setting, and achievement. And that's what we're going to talk quite a bit about as well, because this man is absolutely an expert in that area and the area of personal coaching. But before we introduce our guest, let's catch up on our fitness challenge and see how things are going. Jim, how's it going? Now, are we into our ninth week now? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, we're winding down now. The final weigh-ins are going to be the week of April 1st through the 10th. And, you know, we got people from Canada competing all over the U.S., cops and firemen competing. We have our CEO fitness challenge and managers and CEOs competing in the corporate wellness environment. So, people are getting close and, you know, people are, you know, already sending me some photos and, you know, giving me some great testimonials of things that are unique in their particular city, in their particular family, in their particular environment, whatever that may be. And it's fascinating to me because, you know, just when you think all it takes is just trying to get lean, you're always thinking about recipes, you're reading books on success and achievement, things that kind of get you pumped up for the week, for the day. And yet when you hear from some of the people that are doing different things, you know, they're all, you know, some of them are just so unique. You know, it just makes me go, wow, that's pretty cool.
Well, I think you hit it on the nose in terms of, you know, the people being so unique that are involved in this challenge, because everyone brings to it their own individual challenge outside the macro component of the event itself. Everybody's got their own individual different things that they have to deal with on a daily basis in terms of getting past obstacles, even getting past their own internal self-imposed obstacles, and that's a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight. So I'm so glad, you know, everyone's doing well. You're getting great feedback. We're winding it down. I'm sure some of the results. I can't wait, quite honestly, Jim, to see some of the before and after pictures from this year's event, because I think it's going to be probably the best event that we've ever had. So again, congratulations to everyone who's been in it, who's taken it this far. You know, once you got over, we talked about this earlier, right, Jim? Is that 3 to 4 week, you know, that plateau. You know, you've got your momentum, you've got energy, but then life starts to get in the way. So you've gotten past that big hump. You're now into the home stretch. We want to encourage you to keep going, get those final few pounds off, do whatever it takes at this point to stay with it, push yourself a little bit harder. You know, in bodybuilding, we call this crunch time. It's the last couple of weeks or so now's the time to really pull out all the stops and give it 100%. So not only can you be proud of what you've done and what you've accomplished, but also carry that momentum forward. Because, you know, as they say, true champions never just go to the finish line, right? They go through the finish line. So keep that momentum up, folks. And again, congratulations. And Jim, you too. You've done such a great job in organizing this. I think it's going to be, you know, a just a fantastic year. So with that said, why don't we, because, you know, we want to spend as much time as possible with our guest. He's got such amazing information to share. So why don't we get right to the introduction of our special guest. Jim, I'll allow you the honors of doing that.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad. Well, our guest is John Spencer Ellis, and John is known all over the country and outside now with some of the things that he does. He is really creating a major tidal wave with within his network and going outside of that in personal development. John, his background is in fitness, and he is the creator and CEO of NESTA, the National Exercise and Sports Trainers Association. He has a strong following of trainers that take a lot of his different certifications. Very diverse, biomechanics specialist, personal trainer specialist certifications, Kung Fu Fitness Specialist certifications. I mean, he really just gets diverse and diverse and diverse. You know, just is, and, you know, John's the kind of guy that if he thinks it, he wakes up in the morning, got an idea, you know what, he puts a pen to, he puts the pen to the paper, and before you know it, he's got an outline and he's selling it. He's an author, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, filmmaker, and philanthropist. John has recently just finished his film called The Compass, which I had the privilege of seeing, and it's a great documentary. He's got some of the top people in personal development in the country that participated in that film, and John is now really moving forward, and he's got some cool things to say, of, you know, things that he's that are developing now after he's completed this film. Now he's got the book of The Compass, and then he's got a whole speaking engagement with a pretty special person, and I'll allow John to talk about that guy, and it's a privilege for me to have John on the show, and I thank you, John. John, are you there?
I am, and I just wanted to thank you very much. I feel like I fit in with your group here. I'm a CEO, and my twin brother is a firefighter, and his wife was a police officer for many years, so I think we covered all the bases.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
John, I had no idea you were a twin. Am I identical? Are you guys identical?
Fraternal twins. He is 1 minute older, and let me tell you, I'm going to be 40 in 2 weeks, and he still won't let me forget it.
So you're 1 minute older. So you're going to turn 40 1 minute older than him, faster than him?
A bit older, so he thinks somehow that he outranks me.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I've got an identical twin myself. He's 5 minutes older than me. I was the youngest. I like to think that I pushed him out of the womb. I gave him that little push. And like we all need occasionally in life, but I did it right from the beginning. I'm like, you go out there first. So that's really great. That's kind of fun growing up a twin now. A lot of fun.
Yeah. No, we're good buddies now.
Fantastic. Well, John, you know, as Jim said, you know, you come from the fitness background, the fitness industry, and you certainly do a great deal in that respect still with Nesta providing certifications in all sorts of areas. But you've really branched out, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit, particularly for our listeners, because it's so important now, and I think for the vast majority who've come this far in the competition, that you can't get 9-10 weeks into a competition when you've really pushed yourself and not discover some new things about yourself and not also have faced that demon, that dragon, that little inner voice that likes to stop us from really going all the way with our true potential. And I know that's what you're teaching these days, and maybe we could talk a little bit about, you know, your movement towards personal development versus being exclusively sort of in the fitness industry today. What sparked that movement for you?
Okay, well, it's, you know, my father was actually a bodybuilder, and he never competed, but, you know, he was in the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno, I'm trying to think some of the, you know, this obviously predates Dorian Yates even, from like 8 or more. I mean, it's just, it's been a long, long time. And so he was into it, and then for my 12th birthday, he got me a health club membership, and I got into bodybuilding. Although I was still a skinny kid, I liked to lift as heavy as I could, which wasn't smart, but you're 12, you know, so... And so, you know, I was always intrigued by these huge bodybuilders, mammoth guys, and I never got to that point. But and then we'd watch the Olympics, and we'd watch, you know, the clean and jerk and the snatch, and then we'd watch strength competitions of squat, deadlift, and bench press. And I was always so impressed. How do these people keep breaking these records again and again and again? You know, you think, I mean, they're just phenomenal, and yet... Every time these people get together for the Olympics, every 4 years, whatever it is, for these other world events, they keep breaking records. And I thought, gosh, how is this possible? And so it got me interested in the mental aspect of it, because when you're at that level of anything, it is not physical as much as it is mental. Obviously, they're physical specimens. They work very hard. It has to be proper sleep, nutrition, fitness, recovery, everything. We know that. However, you know, if you look at a lot of people who are the top 0.5%, it is the mental adaptation, fine-tuning over time that they've learned, which allows them to supersede all of their competitors. So that intrigued me, and so that got me involved in personal development and, sports psychology and neurolinguistics and clinical and sports hypnosis and, you know, human achievement on all different levels, and then it just transpired. And I actually went and studied medicine. I was in radiology, and then I put that together with that, and then I studied Eastern philosophy and put all that together. And there's a lot of carryover to how you put it all together. And what's interesting is a lot of these philosophies or ideas or tech actually very, very similar and synergistic. It's just that they call them something different. They come from a different corner of the earth, but there are fundamental truths to many of them, and when you put it into a systematic way, it yields great results.
Fantastic. You know, you talked about the old bodybuilding days of Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, and Arnold is certainly a prime example of an athlete, regardless of the sport, an athlete who has absolutely mastered, and I'm sure he wouldn't agree that he has mastered it yet because there's so much more to go and learn, but mastered the inner game versus just the outer game. In fact, I think in the Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, and it's certainly it's not an exact quote, but he said that the mind will always break down faster than the body in terms of its ability to push further, and the mind will give out first before the body does. So, and it's such a fascinating study, isn't it? I mean, the mind, the body is such a complex machine as it is, but the mind is truly a fascinating subject in terms of how it can move us forward or hold us right where we are, yes?
You know, I was just speaking to someone else earlier today, and we were talking about mind-body connection, and it may be just a matter of semantics, but I've always thought that it's not two different things. I think it's lack of communication and understanding. I don't think it's that, you know, science has just understood the mind-body connection, or maybe on the clinical level, but that connection has always been there. It always will be there. We can enhance it, but it's not necessarily that they're two different entities. It is one thing that needs to have better clarity and understanding and communication. And you know, like we talk about in the film too, is in the compass, is to listen inward. You know, you have something called the enteric gut system, which is the nervous system, which is part of your stomach, your digestive tract, and it communicates with your brain. So when you get those gut feelings, you think, oh my gosh, I just knew it, and why didn't I listen to myself? And I felt sick to my stomach, and I did it anyway, and then look at this garbage that came out because of it. That is that's part of and connected to your central nervous system, which allows you to make wise choices, but all too often we ignore that, and the outcome is often disastrous when we do.
Mm.
Often we ignore a lot of things that our subconscious tells us, sometimes to our death. In fact, when you, I hate to say it's so extreme, but you know, when you know you're having a heart attack and you say to yourself, I'm not having a heart attack, I just have indigestion, and yet all the signs are there, jaw, arm, everything. Yeah, no, I'm not having a heart attack, and there you go, plop on your face.
Mm.
But you know, I remember Arnold saying one time, I met him at the Arnold Classic. I was with a friend of mine who's in a wheelchair. He's a competitive, he competes in the Olympics, in the Paralympics, but he's in a wheelchair, and he and I were talking with Arnold, eating strudel.
What else would you eat with Arnold?
Poppy seed strudel. And Arnold said that, you know, the thing that surprises him the most about when people put are people that put limitations on themselves. He says there's never really any limitations to what you can do or you want to do. He says the first people that are the people that are the people that stop you first usually is yourself, and you normally will put your own limitations on yourself or what obstacle you think you cannot achieve. And when he said that to me, that really just stuck in my head, and it's never gone away. And you know, and then since then, you know, I've watched him, you know, become governor, and I've watched him do other things, and the guy just never stops. And you know, I mean, when you think of how he thinks now, or he's always thought this way, but you know, for me to think about the way this guy goes on, he just never has any limits.
Well, I think what's interesting is that, you know, we see life through our filters, but our filters are created and modified and put in layers through our experiences. But oftentimes, and this is what I have learned from working with people in health, fitness, wellness, personal development, sports, the Olympics, it doesn't matter. If people don't feel they're worthy, they won't do the things that are necessary to take themselves to that level. But here's the thing. Whether you think you're worthy or you're not, it's all in your head. So if you don't think you're worthy, you're not going to be resourceful enough, and you're not going to be receptive enough. It's almost like when people say, well, money doesn't come easy. Well, then if you get an idea for something that's easy, self-preservation is number one for humanity, so you don't want to do something that's outside of your sphere of comfort. So if something is above and beyond what you think is comfortable or attainable, your subconscious will immediately dismiss it, whether it's a million-dollar idea when you only think you can make 100,000, or if you think that you can achieve 5% body fat when you can actually get to 4, or whatever it is. Whatever you think you're worthy of, that is all you will ever get, period. That's the way it works, because your subconscious mind wants to protect you from something that's outside of your sphere of comfort. If you think life should look like a Norman Rockwell painting, and it looks more like a Nine Inch Nails CD cover, it might be a little frightening for you. So yes, how I perceive what I'm worthy of accurate to what I actually can attain.
So what would you tell someone who is like a Biggest Loser competitor, like a 400-pound person who clearly has all kinds of insulin issues? What would you say to this person who thinks they're not worthy of dropping 200 pounds?
Well, this is always an interesting question. First, you have to figure out what motivates them. What are their triggers? How do they currently associate with food, too? You know, and Oprah is a great example of someone who associates pleasure, pain, happiness, joy, spirituality, friendship around food. And the direct result is that she's challenged with it again and again. So first I would have to understand, how do they currently associate with food or with whatever disempowering habit that they have? Because it's going to be different for everyone. And there are a lot of different techniques that are a lot to go into right now, but you have to figure out, what is your current relationship with whatever this inanimate or animate object is that is either holding you back or giving you power for whatever reason? And so if you have an inappropriate relationship with whatever it is, you have to identify it and change your neuroassociation with it. And there's a lot of different techniques. Like, for example, with what we do at the Spencer Institute is a technique with developed by Alan Marilyn Sargent called hemispheric integration. I'll be real brief with this, but it's fascinating stuff. You know, people say, well, I have half a mind too, or they say, in my mind's eye, I see. And you've heard people say this. Well, the truth is we have two mind's eyes, because each hemisphere of the brain, left and right, each actually have a different pictorial representation of information, of the world, of an experience. And you can go through different processes, and you have a different pictorial representation. Maybe it's of your Aunt Helen. Well, one hemisphere may think Aunt Helen's wonderful, and the other one can't even get a clear picture of her. It's fuzzy. And it's the amygdala in each hemisphere that orients it. Like, you may say, well, I like that's Aunt Helen, and your amygdala says, yeah, she never gave me presents when I was a kid, you know. But that no longer serves a purpose. If it no longer serves a purpose, you have to have a different pictorial representation of it. So there's ways of dismissing those old pictures and images and getting something that is more accurate, and you cross-reference each hemisphere's picture, because they will be completely different. And then it allows you to have a more balanced perspective of what something is. You know, is chocolate something that represents love, or is it something made from the cocoa? You know, what is it really?
You know, John, you bring up I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
You bring up a great point, and it's really very pertinent to those people on the call now, because I'm sure that anyone who's gotten this far in the competition does not want to go back to whatever it was that they were experienced before, the type of shape that they've gotten into now. Also, the inner strength and the belief in themselves to be able to get this far. No one really wants to go back. But certainly we know this, John, and I know this is what you teach as well, is that part of personal development is about unlearning as much as it is about learning or creating a new model, but unlearning an old model. Like you say, you know, Aunt Helen, well, she never gave me presents. But if that doesn't serve you today, you've got to be able to unlearn that. And I think that's probably, you know, and relating it to fitness, And just to give an example, like if you're doing a dumbbell curl and you do it wrong for the first few times that you do it, the first few sets or the first few workouts, it's hard to unlearn that and do it right again. So, I mean, this is one of the challenges is, in personal development, isn't it? Is helping people unlearn those old models, yes?
I think a great example of someone who is willing to modify is Tiger Woods. He's always adjusting his swing. He is a freak of nature, and but he is always adjusting, modifying, and learning. And this reminds me of a story I was just told, and I think it's really relevant here, and I'll be brief. But the story goes that Albert Einstein was teaching a college course, and his student aide, which had taken the class the year before, was handing out a test that Albert Einstein was administering to his college students. And about halfway through handing out the test, the student aide who had taken the class before ran up to the front and he said, Mr. Einstein, there's an error. And he says, you know, what is it? And he says, this is the exact same test that you administered last year. He said, yes, I know it's the same test. However, this year, all the answers are different. You know, and I think that it's really, really important that simply because you have the same stimulus, it doesn't mean you always have to have the same response. Simply because you have a weight room doesn't mean you have to use it in the same way. Simply because you go through the grocery store doesn't mean you have to walk down the same aisle. Simply because you did something one way doesn't mean that it's now applicable. I mean, think about how much the economy has changed this year. It's not business as usual, but you still have customers, you still have to open your door, you still get your email, but how you respond and what you do and the way you go about your day and how you're thinking about it is different. So be pliable. That's very, very important.
Yeah, that's one of the best things you hear about with behavior modification. You know, the people who can handle change in behavior are the people that are the most flexible with their attitude. If you're not flexible with your attitude and you're very rigid, then you can't modify your behavior and you're very limited in those types of behaviors and emotions.
In neurology, they call it brain plasticity, and you think it normally is a plastic of as something being hard, but plasticity from a neurological perspective is having, you know, something that's malleable. And as a quick aside, the best way to keep neurological and brain plasticity so you can maintain and enhance your intelligence, two things are very simple to do. One is reduce inflammation, and that can be done through anti-inflammatory foods and dark leafy greens. Obviously, omega and flax also help neurological health and anti-inflammatory. And something interesting, too, is something called neural redundancy. And think of it like you have a one-lane road. Well, now if you have neural redundancy, now it's like having a four-lane road. And since you guys are often, many of you are have done road closures for various reasons, you can still get information or cars or people through if three lanes are closed. Well, that neurological pathway can remain enhanced. So how do you get neurological redundancy? You get it from learning a foreign language, continuing the learning process well into your later years, and also learning a new computer operating system seems to greatly enhance neural redundancy and plasticity. And I know that was a quick aside, but I thought you guys would dig on that.
Well, that's one of the keys, too, is for everyone to understand that, you know, because let's face it, a lot of people, you know, particularly after age 30, definitely into age 40 and 50, you know, are subscribers to the you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And it's sort of like, you know, we hear people describe themselves, well, that's just the way I am. You know, I've always been that way. My parents have been that way. So they've created this model, and they think that it's not plastic, it's not malleable, it's not changeable in many respects. So the first step, I guess, is understanding that it is. By learning new things, new processes, new computer programs, taking on a new skill that might be challenging starts that process. So if I were stuck in a pattern, for example, where I've always been someone who eats a lot of carbs, or I've always been someone who is overweight, and I have this belief, and it's now this big super neural pathway highway, you know, what's something else, and we talked a little bit about this in terms of what you do at the Institute, but what's something practical that the individual on the call can do maybe to start that plastic process of change, or perhaps they've already started it? What would you suggest?
Well, first of all, be receptive to the opportunity to learn something new. You know, every master was once a mess, And the only way to really continue to learn and be a teacher is also to continue to be a student. And, you know, whether it's formal, informal, online, audio, MP3, download, PDF, it doesn't matter. Just keep learning. You know, you want to learn from people who obviously are qualified and you feel comfortable with and have some valuable information. You know, third-party references are always good. But be receptive to learning something new in all the areas of your life that you want to enhance. You can always filter out the things that don't apply according to your values, your morals, your standards, and how you interpret the world. But I think it's important that you also assess your standards and your values. Are your standards and your values high enough? And do you have so many filters that you're also not letting in good information which can enhance your life so you can help yourself, your family, and your community?
Wonderful answer.
Boy, this guy doesn't stop, does he, Tom?
No, no, and it's fantastic because I'm so immersed in this world of personal development myself, and I love an opportunity to speak to someone who is mastering the area of understanding and helping others by disseminating this information, which kind of brings us to let's put this all in context a little bit in terms of the compass itself, because we really haven't talked about that much. You know,
I
we know
that, that
you know. So let's
because
talk
about. The best thing about the compass is it's where you are now and where you want to be. And, man, I got to tell you, I mean, when you see this film, it's just one expert after the other with a nice outline of different terms that just go on and on. And, I mean, I'm telling you, John, let them have it.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Aside from the experts who give commentary and some narrative to the story, it follows the story of a man's life, as you know, and it's a parable, metaphoric story of the things that he learns in his journey of self-discovery. And when I made this film, there was a couple of things that I really it was very, very important to me that it came through. And one was that I did not impart my values on anyone else because I wouldn't want anyone to do that to me. It's as important, and that's not cool. But what I did want to do is view a wide range of experts from different disciplines, both genders, different ethnicities, backgrounds, income levels, and different types of what we deem to be success. And so their commentary is woven within this story of this traveler, and in the book, his name is Jonathan. And by the way, that wasn't my idea, Jim. That was my co-author, Tim. Anyway, that's what it ended up being. And then, so there's all this expert commentary, and I'll give you some of those names. And then there's four storytellers who tell their story of when they had their compass movement, when their life shifted, and from that point forward, it was forever changed. And it's just so powerful. And what was neat for me is at the world premiere, you know, we had all these dignitaries, I would say, within the personal development field, and there were 700-plus people there. I actually, the event actually had to bring in chairs for the cast and producers and directors because we had to stand in the back because there's no seats left. I'm not kidding you. So I stood for the first 5 minutes of the film, my own film. How do you like that?
Humility. We call that humility. It's a key element in success.
That was awesome. That was actually one of the best things that could have happened. I had to stand up in my own picture. So, but you know, when they cheered at these different moments, and I thought, wow, they got it. And you can't say it, Jim, but there's that neat surprise at the end that no one was really expecting, but it's really powerful and metaphoric of how we all go through life. But the people in the film, I have to be honest, I am astonished that I got these people to be in my movie. They're my heroes, and they're my teachers. So people say, well, how did you decide who was going to be in this film, aside from the actor who portrayed, you know, this traveler character and the different things? Well, I went to my bookshelves and my audio programs, and I thought, well, who has taught me? Who have I learned the most from? Who do I have the most respect for? And how is my life better in all these ways because of the given people? And that's who I went to. You know, and T. Harv Eker is in it, who does, he's the number one New York Times bestseller of Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And now Harv and I are doing the Compass Live event later this year. We'll have information for you there. John Assaroff, who many of you know from the film The Secret. He's the one who had the vision board and all that stuff. And Joe Vitale, Marie Diamond, Dr. John DeMartini. But then, you know, someone who's been around for a long time doing this and is awesome is Brian Tracy. And he's really good in the film. And then Jim, someone you know, is the love of my life, Kelly Ellis, who, and this is kind of an interesting thing because not just working with the love of your life, but you know, people said, well, why is such diversity in this group? And I said, because life is diverse, because people are diverse, and because if you don't have balance in all aspects of your life, you can be, you know, spiritually fulfilled and financially broke, or you can have incredible fitness but have horrible relationships. So what's the point? You know, success is in balance, but you can also have it in abundance, and that's what it's about, balance and abundance. But so, for example, Kelly is a design psychologist. She understands how your home affects your success. It's not feng shui. I always have to do that disclaimer. And she was a designer on HGTV and TLC. If you guys watch Clean Sweep or Takeover My Makeover, those shows,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of home improvement guys. Well, Kelly's the designer on those shows, but she talks about how your home can either hold you back or make you successful. It's not about, well, that lamp looks good on that end table. You know, that's not what it's about here. But we had a yoga master, Eric Schiffman, who I studied under for a long time, and he's the one who certified me in yoga. And he's probably the most esoteric of everyone in the film, but he's also the most likable by a lot of people because he's just real. You know, he's a very, very real person. And then we have, you know, exercise physiologist Kelly Calabrese, who Jim also knows very well. And it's just this, and there's many others as well, but when you go to the website, you'll be able to see it. Les Brown is awesome in the film, too. Les Brown is one of the top motivational speakers in the world, period, end of story.
You know, John, I just want to pause there for just a second because I just want to tell everyone on this call, Les Brown, if you've never heard Les Brown speak, I got to tell you, he is moving. The guy can weave a tapestry of quotes into something that will motivate you to get you off your seat just to go to the bathroom, for God's sake. I mean, he can get you to move on anything. He is absolutely one of my favorites. I'm thrilled to hear that you had him in the movie. I can't wait to see it now.
And his daughter, Ona, is in the film as well. And she couldn't be any sweeter and better in the picture. I tell you what, without Les and Ona, it would have been really good, but it wouldn't have been fantastic. And it's fantastic because they're in the film. And you know, I feel very, very fortunate that I was able to get all these different people. And someone else who's really good in it is Dr. Topher Morrison, who's a good friend of mine, a teacher of mine and a good friend, and he's an incredible speaker, very likable in the film. But it's not just a bunch of talking heads. I think that's important that we say that. It's a story that unfolds, but the narrative from the experts weave through the story and make it seamless. And it's not like he's pantomiming what they're saying either. It's not like that. It's
John,
done very well. Yes, go ahead.
John, the our cops and firemen and these guys are pretty hardcore guys, as you already know. And when you talk about personal development, even in 2009, as easy as it is and as common as it is here, they're still a little kind of conservative. Still kind of some of them are kind of still in the dinosaur ages where they're still thinking, this stuff seems like kind of witchcraft to me, man. I don't know. It just kind of seems a little...
I have a great answer for that. First of all, I'm probably the most even-keeled personal development guy you'll ever meet. I mean, I'm not out there on a limb by any means. I'm very mainstream. I just think that, you know, you think about this, though. You have an attorney. You have an accountant. You have a baseball coach for your kids. You might be the soccer coach. People have experts that help them in different things that are standard and customary. But why wouldn't you invest in yourself? I mean, especially right now when everyone is seeking to improve, they're looking outward, and all they have to do is look inward and really fine-tune what's important to them and ask more of themselves and get more from themselves and be a better person. You know, people say it like this. You know, they say, well, it takes a village. You've heard that. And people say, start locally and think globally. Both of those are true. However, if you don't invest in yourself first, how can you give 100% to anything or anyone else if you're at 50 or 70. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. And it doesn't mean that you arrive at a certain point and you're like, oh, here I am. I am personally developed. You know, it doesn't work like that. I think it's an evolution of learning more and expanding your possibilities and learning how to live life more full. And, you know, one of the things that I think is so important is oftentimes people think they have to go buy something or acquire something before they can have happiness. You know, it's like you first have to go buy it before you can be it. And that's not so, or they're destination oriented, meaning that after I get into that house, boy, then I can be happy. Or after I get that car, then I can be happier. I sure will be happy after I pay off that debt. Those things may make it nicer, but it doesn't mean that you forego the happiness or the contentment or the fulfillment now. It means that you find it now and you take it with you, because then you get to enjoy that a lot longer. You have a longer period of time to enjoy that fulfillment. But the best investment you can ever make is in yourself. You know, and there's a lot of ways of doing that. And I'll be the first one to tell you, there's a lot of people in the personal development industry that don't walk the walk. They don't walk the fine line that they claim. And I get that. And there's some people in the personal development industry that are kooky. And I know that. I get that because I've seen them, and they email me on Facebook every day. So I get that. So I understand someone's concern. They go, gosh, you know, this kind of stuff is a little different from what I'm used to. I go to the gym and I'm gonna do chest today. And I'm gonna do dumbbell press, then incline, and then pec deck and cable crossover, and I'm done. I'm out of there. And I just personally developed myself. Yes, you did. Good for you. Make sure you foam roll, or you're gonna be sore. You know, so, and that's great. But yet there's more to it. I mean, most people that are just focused on the physical are emotionally broken. And you don't want to just be stereotypically physically developed but lacking that mental, emotional, spiritual, familial, relational balance and component to who you are. And that's not fluffy or frilly or anything. It just makes you more fulfilled. And I just wish it didn't take me nearly 40 years to figure that out. That's the only thing that frustrates me, is I wish I would have figured it out earlier, because I think I'd be a lot further ahead.
Well, you're not alone.
Well, the thing is it's too bad that it's not taught in school. It's like maybe middle school or elementary school, and then, you know, just like, you know, typical the ABCs of entrepreneurship. Like if we could learn this early in school, like, you know, middle school or even high school, you know, be a lot different society today. But, you know, the thing is about personal development, a lot of these cops and firemen and managers and CEOs, a lot of them do it without realizing they are personally developing themselves, because they really haven't just categorized it that way. They do it at a smaller level. You know, they do go to the gym. They kind of do take care of themselves a little bit. But when they, to actually plan things out, to make a strategic plan where you sit down and you say to yourself, okay, I know I'm shopping right, I'm buying the right foods for my family, I'm taking care of myself, I know I, myself, along with my kids and wife, are making sure that we get enough physical activity so that we satisfy that component. Thinking about all of the different aspects holistically, so that everything gets an equal percentage, so that that gyro spins without wobbling, that those are the kind of things that many people really need to kind of get, instead of just saying, well, I'm exercising and I take a break and I'm balanced and I think I'm personally developed.
Well, you know,
no.
You said the word holistic, and sometimes people have such an inaccurate interpretation of what holistic is. They think it's some guy sitting lotus style chanting and burning incense. And for him, it may be, but that doesn't mean that's what it is. Holistic, and there's actually two spellings of it, one with an H and the other one WH, and it just means holism, and it means a multi-pronged perspective, a balanced approach. I mean, when you tune up your car, you don't just wash it, or you don't just change the oil. You give it a once-over, which is holistic. You know, I mean, you think of it from that perspective. It has to be the right amount of a variety of tools and applications and techniques and lessons to raise your game. I mean, think about it. When we're in March Madness, you know, and when these guys were getting ready to go out to the court, they do not just practice their free throw, and they don't just practice a layup or whatever it is. They are working on timing, rhythm, flexibility, reaction time, plyometric. They're doing everything. And believe me, there's a lot of sports psychology that goes into these athletes now. And sports psychology, by the way, stemmed from the work from NASA. NASA, it was actually called Mental Motor Rehearsal. And that's how it all started. But then they had adaptation for Olympic athletes. And, you know, they're no slouches, I would say. But then, and then people start saying, well, gosh, if it works for them, well, then I bet it would work for an executive. Did you know that executive coaching stems from sports coaching and sports psychology? It's not the only thing, but it's one of the components. And it, alas, it is holistic because it incorporates many different components of success for the CEO and executives.
Well, I can tell our listeners firsthand from my own personal experience. And again, yeah, Jim, I totally get where you're coming from in terms of a lot of our responders. You know, these guys are in the streets. They've got to be centered. They got to be grounded, and this is where they feel the grounding comes from. Not this foo-foo personal development stuff that, again, is in many respects misrepresented. You know, for me personally, I mean, I was as hardcore as you get in terms of bodybuilding after winning the nationals, competing in the Olympia, all this stuff. But it really wasn't until I got more involved in developing myself from the inner game, from a balanced perspective, from, as John Sorma, from a holistic or whole perspective, that I started to really gain a true sense of mastery, which I've had nowhere near accomplishing fully yet, but a true sense of mastery of my own life, and created a higher level of happiness. The winning the contest did not create the happiness that I even thought it was going to. What has created that is being balanced, understanding myself, and developing fully. And John, as you said, it took me 40 years as well. So, hey, we're not alone, man. So, but for those people listening, this is what it's about.
Well, I think that the big thing is you do it how it works for you. The important thing is be receptive to learn new things. And you can always throw it out if it doesn't work for you, but never compromise your integrity. And don't compromise your morals and raise your standards to the highest level. You know, if you're confident of your beliefs and your values, then no one will ever encroach upon them anyway. So, if someone gives you information, you go, you know what, that doesn't apply to me, then brush it off. And the things that do, cool, I can use that and I can add it to my toolbox of success. It could be communication skills. I think the most important thing for the people on the line, you know, CEOs, executives, firefighters, and police officers, is that this, when you get to this point of you know, and I'm not saying it's a destination because it's constantly evolving, but when you learn about these tools and these techniques, you get an inner peace, and I don't mean that in a woo-woo way again, but you have the ability to think more clearly and to make better decisions for yourself. And if you're working with the public, man, does that help. It helps as much as knowing jiu-jitsu or anything else mm-hmm. if you have to that. So I think it's imperative that the learning process continues, but you have to find out what's right for you. But experiment. You know, one of my favorite things to do is Kelly and I will go down to this place. We get this really healthy salad with chicken in it, and then we go to the bookstore and we'll, you know, of course she goes into her books and magazine section, and then I go into my book section, and then I look at all the audio programs and stuff, and that's part of my monthly investment. I have an allocation each month that I spend on books and audios and movies and seminars and workshops and DVDs and things like that, because I realize how much I still don't know. I mean, I think of all the... What's interesting is that all the things that I've learned from these wonderful people who have been kind enough to teach me, I realize that I know a fraction of what they know. And it reminds me, when I was studying for my first degree black belt in Kung Fu, and this is many years ago, and I was at that time very naive, and I thought I knew it all, and I was trying to explain something to a newer student, and the Grand Master was there, who actually brought our style over from the Shaolin temples, no kidding. And I was trying to tell this younger kid, I said, yeah, I have about 10% of his knowledge, because of the Grand Master, which was stupid, but my Kung Fu instructor that I learned from, he came by and just scratched the wall with his fingernail, and he goes, just a fleck. And he walked away. That was it. And I thought, man, I am never anything like that again.
You know, it reminds me of something that, and you may or may not know, Alex Mendozian. And Alex is a great, great guy, and he's just a master at disseminating information and helping those people like Harvecker and Les Brown do the same thing to a wide range of people. And he talks about, you know, approaching life with a constant beginner's mind. That you're always the beginner, you're always learning, and having that humility. And you know that classic story, of course, of the monk who has an opportunity to spend time with the Grand Master monk who's you know 90 years old, and the first thing that the young monk starts to do is brag about what he's learned and what he knows and how much he's done and how much he's experienced and how great he is. And while he's doing that, the older monk is filling his teacup. And as he does, the teacup begins to overflow, and the older monk continues to pour tea until the young monk says, well, what are you doing? The tea's getting everywhere. And he finally says, once your teacup is full, where else can the tea go? So this young monk did not have the beginner's mind. And that's such a great lesson that you're imparting on us, is to have that mind where you're always learning, always, you know, you've got a fraction of the information that's available to you. And that's really a lot of what personal development is about, too, is that continuing to grow, to continue to be open to learning from those people who have had some experience that perhaps you haven't had. And I'm also going to say this, that guys on this call, if you've ever, even once said to yourself, or maybe it's an opportunity to help others who have said to themselves that are close to you that, why do I keep doing this? Or why does this keep happening to me? And you can't find the answer, but the answer is within you, then you have to reach out. You've got to find people who can help you find that within yourself, because it's really an unveiling. You've got the answer. So, you know, John, in terms of being open and learning, and it's such a great way of disseminating that information to people, man.
I just, another quick story, and that is, in our culture, in the American culture, we praise people for, you know, we say things like, it starts from the first time when you were able to poop on the potty by yourself. And then you said, well, self-made man, or he's a self-made millionaire. They made it to the top on their own. They're a solopreneur. Whatever it is, the truth is we never make it without help. So it doesn't mean that you're not true to yourself. It doesn't mean that you look inward for answers. But you also have to be receptive to help that is available to you from the outside as well.
Well, you know what? I liked what you said earlier, John, and I didn't want to interrupt because you guys just have such good stuff to talk about, so I'm now squeaking in here. the thing is, you know, mastermind groups, surrounding yourself with people that are greater than you or that just have things in common with you, you know, by surrounding yourselves with people like-minded that are reaching high, aiming high, stretching farther, that's contagious. And on the flip side too, if you're in an environment that's full of virus and, you know, and sickness and, you know, negativity, you know, you're gonna act and react the same way. So, you know, even if you're not in a mastermind group with real humans touching, communicating and stuff like that, you know, once a week, once a month, going to the bookstore, surrounding yourselves with information that keeps you kind of like in that realm of growing, reaching, stretching, aiming higher. These are the kind of things are nice. These are great tips, and I'm glad you mentioned them. on how to constantly grow. Even if you don't really think it's happening, little by little, just like you save a penny a day, it will accumulate, and it will change you, and it will contribute to your growth.
Absolutely.
Do I get an amen?
Amen, brother.
Amen. We're glad you squeaked that one in there. In fact, John, with that said, you know, one of the things that that I'm actually kind of excited about myself, because again, we know the importance of coaching and being surrounded by, you know, masterminds or others that can support you in that respect. And one of the things I think that you've really come up with is a great solution. And, you know, if we wanted to point people, well, how do I get started? Where do I go? What do I read? One of the things that I've come across Compass TV website is the Compass Coach, which is an extremely affordable way of immersing yourself in this process and having some coaching. So maybe you could share with our listeners a little bit about the coaching process that takes place there.
Well, yeah, the website is called thecompasscoach.tv, and actually the first month is free. It doesn't cost anything, and after that, it's only $14. And we do 2 to 3 teleclasses like this each month, which normally would have a fee 3 times that much for each teleclass. But for the Compass Coach, because of the way it's structured, we're able to do it for such a nominal fee. And we have cast members from the Compass join us in the teleclasses. And then you get your own account, and it has goal management, time management, life assessment tools, all kinds of cool stuff, and then you can integrate it with your Google Calendar, and you can put different things on your blog if you want to, or you can keep it all private. It's really, really cool. It's totally free for the first month, and then it's just $14, but then you get these teleclasses that we do as well, and if for whatever reason you can't make the teleclasses, they're made available as a downloaded MP3, but only for the Compass Coach members.
Fantastic. If you want to get involved in really, you know, learning more about yourself and how to grow yourself so that you can be more of what you already are or less of the parts of you that you don't want to be, you know, this is a great way to do that for something like less than 49 cents a day. You get involved in actual coaching. And I got to tell you personally, you know, the strength of coaching in whatever area of your life that you want to improve upon, whether it's already a strength or something that's a little weakness you want to improve upon, the importance of coaching and immersing yourself in this kind of process is invaluable, unquestionable. You know, anything that I've achieved in my life, I've had it through coaching. I know that Jim has done that. And John, you mentioned earlier that many of the people that are on the Compass, the movie itself, are the people that have been your coaches, your mentors, and the people that have taught you along the way. So obviously you understand the value of this.
Well, there's just so much to learn. I mean, what's interesting for me as an individual is that, you know, I've always been a high achiever, and I've always demanded a lot myself, and from the outside, there's probably been a perception of given levels of success. However, when I started making this film, from the inception to its completion and now to its current date, just a few weeks after its world release, I realized I didn't know squat. And now this has taught me so much by spending time and learning from these people and being involved in this whole thing. And you know what? In a year from now, I'll think today, I don't know squat. And I think that is what's most important. It's really, really important. And I tell you what, I remember, you know, not long ago when I was younger, I thought I had all the answers, or at least most of them, which is obviously stupid, but I was younger and I thought. And now I realize, looking back, that is when I had the most dismal growth personally, professionally, relationally, and financially. Absolutely, it is when I was the most stifled. And that, you know, people say, well, you know, look back on the lesson. But it is a little frustrating because I think, gosh, I wish I would have figured this out earlier.
Great observation, no question. But I think everybody has that moment where they think, oh, my God, I've wasted some years. But and at the same time, and I know you know this, but I'll say it anyway, is that, you know, those years are certainly, you know, and you didn't suggest that they were wasted by any means, but discovering this earlier, but the things that you discovered along the way is what you're disseminating now, that information, to be able to share that. Hey, there was a lot of time when I was frustrated and discouraged and not doing so well in my relationship and my business and stuff, and it took this to be able to discover this. It took understanding and humility that I don't know it all, and there's more to be learned. And I think for a lot of us, you know, on this call that have that sort of a little bit of a, and listen, you know what? I got to say this, and Jim, maybe you certainly have a better understanding of this than I do. I think you got to have a little bit of cocky in you to get out onto those streets. You got to have a little bit of that confidence in you, you know, that may exceed what most people would see as being humble, to be able to get out there and face what you guys face. So, you know, and Jim, you also mentioned earlier that a lot of our 911 responders go through personal development just by getting, you know, the vast majority of people who go through personal development need to get out of their comfort zone and expand themselves. Well, my God, being a cop, being a responder, I mean, you talk about getting out of your comfort zone almost every day and not knowing when that's going to come. So, you know, we got to congratulate everybody for that in terms of your own personal development. But if there's an area of your life that needs that, this is a great way to immerse yourself in it. The CompassCoach.tv. Check it out, guys. I think you'll be very impressed, and I think, hell, at least go for this first month. It's free, man.
That's right.
Hey, John, before you say goodbye to our listeners, can you, is there one or two tips that you can at least get that flywheel slowly starting to turn and having them take one, two, or three steps forward? What kind of advice would you give them to at least get that flywheel moving?
Just in personal development in general or fitness?
No, personal development, because they can always fit that fitness component in there. But just an overall.
You know, I think the first thing is just realizing that there's a lot more to know. I just realize that as much as you think you know about it, there's someone who knows 1,000 times more or more. And so be receptive to learn from these people and then say, according to my values and my life, how can I use this information to take whatever I want to the next level or the highest level? And then realize that you have to believe that you're worthy of whatever it is you're going for, or even more. Otherwise, subconsciously, your body shuts down. This is true. It sounds weird, but I promise you it's true. Your body wants to preserve itself. So if it thinks you're asking something that you're not worthy of or is beyond your current comprehension or understanding, your body wants to protect itself. So as long as you're not trying to jump out of an airplane without a parachute, you're not doing something foolish, but you want to create higher levels of success in all areas of your life, first believe that you're worthy of getting it, and then ask intelligent questions until you get the answers and the information you need. And if you don't get the answer you need, ask a better question until it arrives. And I'll leave you with this. And, you know, they always say that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. But the fable or the parable, it doesn't say that the teacher arrives. It says that he or she appears, which means that the teacher was always there. It's just that you didn't allow yourself to see the teacher.
Mm.
It's no longer foggy. He can see clearly.
Very good. Very good. I think those are some great tools, some great tips that people can put into practice in their own mind to at least to start contemplating this process of personal development, growing further, expanding your comfort zone, and being as much as you can be. Because I'll be honest with you, I know John believes this as well, otherwise you wouldn't be in this, and I know that Jim believes this as well, or you wouldn't be, you know, hosting these events for the last 11 plus years, is that you have magnificence in you, man, and you just haven't tapped 100% into it. And perhaps in your lifetime you never will, but it's time to really get started in tapping into that. So, John, thank you so much for the words of wisdom and for sharing this and for taking the time to put together, you know, such an immense undertaking as the Compass and providing the coaching process that you do on that site. So thank you so much for everything you do, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. And I believe Jim has a link to get the Compass right from the website, right, Jim?
Yeah, so if anybody is interested in purchasing a DVD, the DVD of the Compass, just go to 911fitness.tv, and you'll see it right there on the right-hand margin. You'll see the image of the compass. Just click on it, and you can just purchase it online. You'll be glad you did. And I would also encourage you guys to get involved in the coaching program. John and his guests are just really out there with information that's going to help you stretch and reach. And whether it's just trying to get lean and build some muscle, or if it's trying to get that promotion, or if you're trying to go on a specialized unit, get on a SWAT team, or if you want to be a diver, or hell, why don't you just go try out for the Navy SEALs? That's something, huh? But these are just things that you know, that are available to you, and you know, just may open up some new, you know, create some new neurological paths that may send you into different aspects of your life that you'll just be grateful you did. So, John,
Jim,
thank you so much for coming on.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. I was just, if you have 10 seconds, the upcoming guest that I have is a Navy SEAL instructor, firefighter, and a graduate of Harvard and Yale. So I have that guest coming up. He's incredible.
Why am I not surprised?
So, John, in terms of the guests, is that something those who are a member of the coaching process or the coaching website will have access to, your different guests and things of that nature?
Yeah, he's going to come on class with us. I mean, no kidding. He went to Harvard, Yale, then he was a stockbroker, and then he was an instructor, and now he's a firefighter, and he's also a personal trainer and an entrepreneur. And he's 6'6".
You know, he's either a really great starter and a poor finisher, or just a guy who can't get enough of experimenting, growing, and expanding the plasticity of his brain. I'm not sure which one, but it's amazing one way or the other.
Incredible.
So get to the website, thecompass.tv, or even thecompasscoach.tv. Get involved in that process. You'll be able to hear these guests and listen to John on a regular basis. I highly recommend you do that. So again, John, any last words before we say goodnight?
You guys just believe it's possible. Go out there and do it. And this applies to anything. Be diligent and consistent in your approach, even if every day is 90%.
Fantastic. Jim, anything?
Just thanks again, John. It's been a pleasure and an honor to have you on our show. Listeners, if you want to pass this on to your friends, just remember that this will be archived and available as an MP3 in the morning. Just go to 911fitness.tv and go into the archives section, and you'll see John Spencer Ellis, The Compass. That'll be the name of the link, and you could just share that with your friends, or if you just want to listen to it again, maybe you missed something. But
fantastic.
Thanks again, John. It's been a pleasure and an honor, and we'll be in touch.
John, all right, I'm going to go work out right now.
Awesome. Well, that's right. You're on the West Coast. It's getting a little late out here. Hey, John, make sure you tell my good friend Harv Ecker that I send my best and good luck with the process that's coming up with the live events, and I hope I'll have an opportunity to get out and visit with you at one of those events sometime in the near future, perhaps September.
No, let's do it.
Awesome. Hey, you got it, John. Thanks again so much, man, and keep up the great work, buddy.
All right, you guys. Enjoy.
And good night, everyone, and thank you for joining us again for one more episode. And we've only got a few weeks left of the 911 CEO Fitness Challenge Support Teleseminar Series with Tom Terwilliger and Jim Tsai. And again, you know, God bless you guys. Keep up the great work. Keep your momentum. Now's the time to push even harder. It's crunch time. There's only a few weeks left. Give 100%. If you've been holding back even one iota, now is the time to turn up the volume, put your foot on the gas, and if I can come up with one more metaphor, I'll do it, but I can't. So get going. We love you guys, and we'll see you all next week. Jim, have a great night.
Good night, folks.
Tell the family we said hi. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
The moderator has left the conference.